welcome back to Technotopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. To another show, we have Peter Cohen. He's a writer. This is Technotopia. This episode of Technotopia is sponsored by CheapTranscription.io. CheapTranscription offers 10 cent per minute transcription using our happy robots, or 85 cents per minute using our human assistants. CheapTranscription.io is cheaper and faster than everyone else. CheapTranscription.io. This episode of Technotopia is brought to you by Typewriter.plus. Typewriter.plus is a full-service editorial agency that brings amazing editors from places like the New York Times and TechCrunch to work on your writing. Need a blog post, a white paper, a presentation? The Typewriter team can write or edit anything on nearly any topic. Visit them at typewriter.plus for a free quote. That's typewriter.plus, typewriter.plus. Welcome back to Technotopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. Today's show, we have tech journalist Peter Cohen. You're Flarg on Twitter, and I think we've been Twitter friends for a long time, Peter. Welcome.
Thank you, John. Nice to talk to you finally.
So this is supposed to be... So we took a break. I took a break for a couple months just because it was... Because the future didn't look so deeply bright. And we're recording this in the midst of like a world pandemic. And the Shamrock Shake is out. And there's all kinds of horrible things that are happening in the world. Should I just stay pessimistic, or should I be optimistic? What do you think?
I think that you've got to be optimistic, because the alternative is, complete nihilism. And it's fun to be, a sarcastic jerk on Twitter, but not so much in real life.
Exactly. So tell us what you've been working on recently.
You know, I have been in this business for a long time, tech journalism, since the mid-90s. Sometimes it feels more like a life sentence.
Turn of the century.
Pre-millennial, man. Yeah. Yeah. Web 1.0. That's when I got my... I was thinking about this morning. You know, I started my first website to write about Mac games back when it was possible for not just one, but many websites to actually be support themselves writing about Mac games. And boy, have times changed.
That's interesting that you were able to support monetarily, right? Not just in terms of exposure.
Yeah, and that's got a lot more to do, I think, ultimately with how Google and Facebook have really kind of like reshaped things, you know, in terms of advertising than anything. But yeah. So it's been a long road to hoe, but I'm still writing about tech all these years later, because there's an endless amount of stuff to write about and to let people know about, because there's so many interesting things happening all the time.
So what's the most interesting thing? What's the most hopeful thing that you've seen in the past few months?
The most interesting and hopeful thing that I've seen in the past few months, just in terms of like technology and humanity and where they intersect. Boy, that's a loaded question. But, you know, so much of the biotech stuff that's happening right now gives me a lot of hope for the future, you know, especially having close family members, distant family members, friends, and just associates who have been, and actually me myself too, you know, I'm at that age now. Like I said, I started my first site in the mid 90s. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm like AARP crowd now, right? Just had my first colonoscopy. Yay. I just turned 50, and a lot of my friends, a lot of my colleagues are all facing serious medical stuff or have been dealing with serious medical stuff, and all the stuff I see happening in biomed and, the advances in medicine make me really hopeful. Mm-hmm. that things are on the right track. What scares me, of course, is the dystopian aspect of that. Like, you know, when I hear about, you know, well, we can spend billions on F-35s, but we can't figure out how to pay for COVID-19 testing. That kind of freaks me out a little bit, but I kind of figure we're going to work that stuff out one way or the other.
So that's kind of the premise of this whole podcast, and that's kind of been the my premise that eventually tech works its way out. Give me an example of a time when you've seen that to be true.
Well, I think Apple technology and stuff that happens in the Apple sphere is very close to me. That's really kind of the focus of what I've been writing about now for 20 years or more, and really kind of been the focus of my entire adult life one way or the other. I've had like three or four careers now that have focused somehow around Apple technology. And seeing the way that this company has taken customer security and privacy seriously enough to make it not only a marketing call out, like a top line marketing call out, but also really kind of integral to their DNA in terms of how they approach how this tech should work. And, you know, the fights that they're willing to have on their on consumers' behalf with governments makes me hopeful that not everybody in Silicon Valley is just out to make a billion, you know, go to Burning Man and blow their minds out. You know, that mm-hmm. that there's actually some really good stuff happening, and that we're going to be well taken care of. Having said that, I always think that people, businesses, private businesses need to be nudged in the right direction too. So I'd like to see a lot more proactive government policy there and a lot more focus in that respect to sort of rein in the unchecked stuff that you see happening in Silicon Valley too.
So how much is this stuff going to start integrating into our daily lives? I mean, so one of the things that I talked to a friend about the other night was she's into Ayurvedic diets, I guess. You eat only things that are available at that point, all this other weird stuff. And it's very spiritual. It's also associated with like ancient techniques, right? At what point do the robots tell us how to eat right? At what point do the robots tell us how to be less stressed and actually actively change our bodies and our minds to a greater degree than just giving us like a breathe moment, a reminder and a stand up reminder and all that other good stuff? When do you think we become truly integrated in these machines?
When we've got the algorithms well adjusted enough to actually manage that stuff. You know, the problem that we have right now is that even when it's good, it's still really uncanny valley, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that it's still really apparent that it's just technology. And look, we're making leaps and bounds there, but I'm sure like me, you've been reading sci-fi, you know, since you were a kid, and we've all been sort of on the precipice of the singularity that we were promised when we started reading about the stuff where, you know, technology was going to dominate all of our lives and make our lives that much better. I still think that's utopianism, and I don't think utopianism is realistic, but I do think mm-hmm. that every year we inch closer towards making technology integral in how we live in really beneficial ways. And this actually is something that's really important to me, because in the last 5 years, it's become so important. The technology that I use has become so important to help keeping me healthy. And just to rewind, 5 years ago, I was really, really overweight. I was very unhappy. I was really sick. I ended up getting gastric bypass surgery. And I lost about 100 pounds, started running, started doing other things. But through that process, I also really needed to stay on top of doing things like taking dietary supplements, because if I didn't, then my teeth would fall out, or I'd get really sick. I'd get rickets and, you know, other scurvy and other weird things, because my body just isn't absorbing the chemicals and nutrients from foods the same way anymore. What made the biggest difference for me was that about 6 months after I had my gastric bypass surgery, I got an Apple Watch, because the Apple Watch came out. And it was the first fitness band, the first device like that I had ever gotten. And initially it was cool, you know, being able to look at my activity levels and keep track of that. But then I realized, hey, this is something that I can use to create maybe a separate calendar on my Mac and my iPhone that I can use to track my pills and supplement intake. And that'll help me keep from missing the calcium citrate that I always seem to forget, you know, to take. And within about, I would say probably about 4, maybe 6 weeks of having this thing on my wrist, I realized, hey, I'm getting in my activity that I'm supposed to. I'm getting exercise. I'm getting more exercise than I used to. I'm staying on top of my supplements. Here was a way that integrating this innocuous piece of technology made a very significant difference into my overall health. And as a result, really improved my quality of life.
Hmm.
Minor thing, but it was really, really important to me. And I've heard countless stories about that since then.
So it's so we're not integrating ourselves, but they're sort of encroaching onto the into our reminders. It's encroaching into our sort of, I guess, our collective memories, right? Something like that.
Yeah. I think that we're just sort of gradually, well, because we're really good tool wielding monkeys, right? We always mm-hmm. have been. That's really kind of what separated us from other primates, right? And I think that we're always one step ahead of ourselves in terms of developing technology and then sort of backfilling, you know, what are the social, what are the philosophical, what are the legal ramifications of using this technology? We see that a lot in tech now with things like encryption, you know, the latest cry from the Attorney General is think of the children. You know, well, you've got to give me a backdoor to encryption because, you know, how are we going to protect kids from child pornographers and so on? Look, I get it. You know, it's a misstep, you know, but we'll figure it out. And we do. It takes us all a while to get there. And what is it that William Gibson said? The future is here. It's just distributed.
Not evenly distributed.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's that kind of gives me a little bit more hope. What do you think the next 20 years looks like?
Well, you know, my dream has always been to sort of work for the Lord Humongous in the Road Warrior. So, you know, if we end up going the fleshy-headed mutant route and, you know, radioactive blasted wastelands, as long as I can get, like, you know, a nice Australian muscle car with a cow catcher on the front of it and a Gatling gun out the top, I really don't care.
And you're skinny now. You can fit in the car. So,
I can fit in the car a little bit better than I used to. That's true.
Yeah, I'm actually worried about that. I'm getting a little bit bigger, so maybe I should just. I guess the food shortages and the nanovirus that's going to infect us all will take care of a lot of that.
Oh yeah, exactly. And you know, more food for the rest of us anyway.
Of course, yeah. Or we could just eat each other. Do things look brighter in the future?
I think so. Because I mean, let's compare now to the way that things were 20 years ago. 20 years mm-hmm. takes us back to 1990, right? And I mean, you know, things weren't markedly different, but if you go 20 years back from there, you know, 1970, it was, you know, a very different time in America, very different time in the world. I think we've made a lot of progress. Technology has brought the world a lot closer together, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the internet has brought everything into absolute immediacy. The trick, I think, over the course of the next 20 years is going to be figuring out how we process the information that we get. Because my observation has been that, and I think that a lot of this is hardwired in us as mammals, right? We are very, very good at threat assessment. We can figure out whether or not there's a mountain lion in our backyard getting ready to eat us. What we're really bad at, though, is risk assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, as we're talking, everybody is so concerned about COVID-19 and all the things that they have to do to keep themselves safe. And we're seeing conferences and trade shows and all these public events, concerts and so on, canceled out of an abundance of caution. You know, that's the phrase that we're all hearing to do it. And the underlying insecurity that I hear about it when I talk to people is, they don't understand, actually. They know that there is a threat there, but they're very unclear on what the actual level of risk is. And you see this every day. You see this with people talking about, you know, well, I need to arm myself because you never know when my house is going to be invaded. Well, you're living at the safest time in American history. You don't really need to worry about, you know, setting up a minigun, you know, in your living room to kill people who are trying to steal your silverware. It's not really that big a deal, dude.
Mm-hmm.
If we can figure out a way, maybe technology is the answer here, or maybe it is actually part of the problem. I don't know. I'm not that much of a galaxy brain to figure it out. But I do think that if we can figure out how to do risk assessment better than we're doing now, it would go a long way to making everybody in the world feel a lot happier, a lot healthier, and a lot more secure.
So to worry less and do more, I guess, is the answer, is the solution here?
To be able to understand and synthesize the information that we're getting. You know, we're constantly bombarded. 24-hour news cycle, Twitter, Facebook, all of our friends texting us, whatever. We're constantly bombarded with information.
Mm-hmm.
The big leap that I want to see mankind make in the next 20 years is figuring out how to do more useful things with the information that we're getting. So we're not drinking from the fire hose all the time.
Interesting. All right, well, let's see if we can pull it off. Where can people find out more about what you're working on?
Best place to find me is Twitter. I'm Flarga Twitter, Flarghh. I also have a website, peter-cohen.com, C-O-H-E-N.
All right, very cool. Thank you for joining us, Peter. We're going to read some more of your stuff over the next couple of weeks, right?
Absolutely. Thanks, John.
All right, thanks for joining us. This has been Technotopia. I'm John Biggs. We will see you next week.
Technotopia is brought to you by Happy Fun Corp. Happy Fun Corp is a design-driven technology company in Brooklyn, New York that specializes in building mobile and web applications for startups and Fortune 500 companies. Whether it's a new mobile or web application that will help people experience the internet in a fun new way, or software that will interface with a new piece of top-secret hardware, Happy Fun Corp is always up to the challenge. Big or small, Happy Fun Corp loves building software and loves working with great people. Come build with them. HappyFunCorp.com.